All right, welcome back to the Garage Hockey Podcast. Happy trade deadline day. I'm Felix Card, joined by Nick and Joe Berger. The trade deadline is officially passed, so we can resume our lives as normal. So let's get right into it. It was kind of a slow day, but the days leading up to it were pretty exciting. I'm going to throw some rapid-fire questions at both of you.
I'm scared.
And you may not look all that good at the end of it. I don't know.
Oh, I definitely won't.
This will test your knowledge. This will test your ability to refresh Twitter multiple times a minute.
I did not study for this quiz.
I haven't been on Twitter since like the deadline ended.
So let's start with a pretty... I'm going to throw you a softball here. I'm going to throw you an alley-oop, a lob, and let's see how you fare. Winners of the trade deadline, Joe.
Overall, the past few days.
Give me like two teams, and give me a quick synopsis of why you think so.
I like Toronto. Yeah. You know,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not what I expected.
Yeah, they're poised to make the playoffs, and they added depth both forward, well, at the forward position, not so much at the defensive position where they need to address it. And then second team that I like. I'm gonna look.
Oh, all right, Nick.
I don't want to take New Jersey.
Nick, can you jump in here?
Yeah, I'll fill in the blanks.
Can you jump into the ring of fire?
I like Vancouver.
Oh,
Vancouver.
Okay, yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Jim Benning did some smart things.
What were these smart things?
They traded a third liner in Yannick Hansen for a young prospect, Nikolai Goldobin.
Promising.
Very promising. Is having almost a point per game season in the AHL with the Barracuda up until this point, and I think he was a point per game kind of guy last year. So he's a very talented young prospect. They also got Dahlin.
Yeah, Jonathan Dahlin.
So
for Alex Burrows.
For Alex Burrows, who again,
not
third liner at best.
No.
And not only is he a third liner, he's 36, and the Senators re-upped him for 2 years.
Yeah, which makes no sense. So they moved past that. So just bad use of a roster spot.
They turned two depreciating assets into pretty good prospects.
Yeah.
Potentially top six forwards.
Yeah, so they're finally, it looks like, stocking up on their future, and this is a good start for them.
Yeah, and one kind of interesting thing about that trade, the conditional fourth rounder that Vancouver received in the Hansen trade can become a first rounder if the Sharks win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So I think Vancouver fans should be rooting for the Sharks to get that 31st overall pick.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, did you remember yours?
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
Ooh, why do you say Pittsburgh?
I mean, they had issues to address on defense, you know,
yeah,
both with injuries and depth, and you know, they just added more depth.
They did. Yeah, they added Mark Streit.
They had to, with Washington going out and getting Shattenkirk, as we discussed yesterday.
Yeah, and then they added Corrado and Hainsey. So three quality defensemen, didn't give up a whole lot. So
yeah. They're not going to be Chicago going in with only 4D and then, you know, dropping one because of injury.
Yeah. No, I had Pittsburgh and Vancouver on my list. Also had Washington. I mean, they went out and got the best player available. Didn't really give up all that much. I mean, didn't even give up one of their better prospects. They gave up a first and a second and kind of like a C-level prospect, Ranford. So...
And didn't lose anyone from the current roster.
Didn't lose anyone. I mean, the only thing they're going to have to deal with is obviously, you know, they have already two really good right-handed defensemen. Shattenkirk is right-handed as well. So they're going to have to sort that out.
But they will.
All right, moving on. Losers. All right, Joe.
I mean, the one that is just sort of baffling me is kind of Tampa Bay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because...
Tell me why.
You know, they
no, don't tell me why. Tell the world why.
Hello, world.
This is an international show.
This is why Tampa Bay, starting my essay. You know, they got Mark Streit from Philly. You know, an aged 39-year-old Mark Streit.
Yeah, he's 39, but he's still good.
Yeah.
Power play specialist.
And, you know, they gave up, I believe, a fourth and a seventh round this year.
And a prospect?
Was it a prospect? Yeah. I think so. And then, like, 2 minutes later...
Oh, and Valtteri Filppula.
Yeah, Filppula.
Yeah, yeah. They sent Filppula to Philly.
And, you know, that's not really surprising.
It's a weird move for Philly, but anyway.
You know, they had to clear cap space, and, you know, they like, come the expansion draft and free agency, they had to clear forward. And then like 2 minutes later, they flipped him to Pittsburgh for less than they got him for.
Yeah.
Like they gave up, you know, the fourth and seventh round pick this year and got Pittsburgh's fourth round pick next year, which is going to be lower probably.
But a better draft. Maybe that's the logic there.
Maybe.
Maybe the because, I mean, they had to get rid of Filppula because they were going to lose him in the expansion draft. And I think, was he an expiring? Either way, they had to shed his salary. They had to get him, they had to let him go. I don't know if I'd put Tampa as a loser because I think they actually made out pretty well. If you think about it, they had to get rid of Bishop. They didn't really give up. I mean, they didn't really get as much as I think they could have if they had traded him last summer.
I mean, it looks weird now, but
they had to move him.
Yeah, like everything they did was probably gearing up for the expansion.
Yeah, and then you look at Brian Boyle, same situation. They get some return on him. So I think it's funny. They're one of my sneaky winners because I think they kind of they did their housekeeping basically.
Yeah, I mean it. You know, from like just looking at it today, all the moves sort of look weird, but that probably means that they're all calculated.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. All right, Nick, have you come up with something?
I have come up with something.
Oh.
Anaheim.
Oh.
Did nothing.
Well.
Well, I mean, they brought in Eaves.
They brought in 32-year-old Patrick Eaves.
They brought in Eaves, and I'm not hating on that move at all, but they have a pretty significant weakness at backup goalie.
Yeah, which they did nothing to address.
They didn't address that even a little bit. Staying in that region, this may be my own bias showing, but I like to think that it's not. LA landing the future Hall of Famer, Jerome Iginla. Shout out to him for a great career, but
yeah,
he's not the missing piece to this puzzle.
Well, okay. Do you have anything more in LA?
I still think the Ben Bishop thing is weird.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That move continues to baffle me. I actually think it might be the worst trade of the trade deadline. And there are a few to choose from, but don't worry. We will get to those. All right. My loser, well, you stole both of mine. I had LA and Anaheim. My dishonorable mentions were Ottawa and Edmonton because I don't know what the hell the Senators are thinking.
Yeah.
And
like doubling down on Burrows, you know?
Yeah. And then Edmonton, the trading... Brandon Davidson, who is a 25-year-old kind of up-and-coming defenseman for David Desharnais. I mean, you look at the market, and you would think they could have gotten more. That was a weird one. I don't know.
And it's not like Edmonton is stacked on the blue line.
And the thing with Desharnais is I think they expect him to be like a third-line center who's going to like contribute. Like he's not that.
Well... something I read is a big reason why they went after David Desharnais is because Edmonton wants to keep Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl together. Okay. So having Desharnais
so,
at center.
So get a crumbling guy. Yeah. I mean,
whatever it takes.
I mean, just yet another feather in Peter Chiarelli's glorious cap. All right. All right. So what was your favorite trade of the day or of the, can't really call it the day anymore. So like the last like 72 hours. Or
I like I like Curtis Lazard to Calgary.
Really?
Yeah. I know that it's been a horrendously miserable, pathetic, sad season for him.
Yeah, I mean, kind of career.
Yeah, I mean he did some good things his first year in the league, but he's still a young guy, and if they can get him as a guy that's anywhere close to a guy that was good. For Canada in the World Juniors when he was playing for them. This is a good move. I think it's worth a shot.
And I mean, yeah, they're taking a flyer on him.
Yeah.
So, all right, Joe, favorite move?
I mean, the steal of draft was P.A. Parenteau.
Damn, you stole mine. Fuck. All right, go ahead.
Damn, how did you know Felix was going to say that?
Oh, no.
Don't look at my notes. This is why I'm, like, holding them
teacher,
up.
Teacher, yeah, I mean, the Nashville got him for nothing. Yeah, they got him sixth round.
Yeah, and I think he might be hurt right now. Not sure about that. But either way, like they got him for nothing, and they already have a pretty good forward group. I mean, Phil Forsberg might be the best player in the league right now.
Yeah.
Like right now.
Yeah. Right now, yeah.
I agree. That was one of my favorites. One of my other favorite trades, I mean, my favorite trade, I guess, outside of that one is Brandon Davidson for David Desharnais because... It's yet again the Habs fleecing the Oilers for a really good defenseman.
You and I were sharpening up our basketball skills when that trade happened, and you liked it initially, and the more you thought about it and the more you talked your way through it, you started to like it more and more and more.
Well, because it's just such a bad trade for Edmonton.
It doesn't make sense.
You had something to add about Parenteau.
Oh, he's a guy that doesn't seem to stick anywhere, but he's serviceable everywhere he goes.
Well, I think the thing with him is I hate to use this term, he's a bit of a streaky scorer.
Okay.
And if he's not scoring, coaches tend to not really understand what else he does. All he really does is have a positive impact on play. Really good playmaker. Just a guy you want on your team, basically. All right. Those are adequate answers. I think we're kind of feeling our way through the start of this quiz.
Can I say I don't understand what, you know what? Maybe this will come up in a little later in the quiz, so I'll let you
All right, some of these are kind of redundant, but we're going to do our best to think outside the box. What was the best trade? Best. All right, I'm going to start with Joe.
I mean, it's got to be Shattenkirk to Washington. It's the obvious answer, but, you know, like Nick said, they didn't give up anyone on their current roster. It's a great win-now move, and they have the depth.
And they didn't give up anything.
Yeah.
They didn't give up one A-level prospect or even like a Burakovsky or anything.
Yeah, so like it's a boring answer, you know, because one, it happened yesterday, too. It's like, you know, the rich get richer. But, yeah. You know, it was the best move that was made.
Okay. Nick, you got one?
I can't say it any better. I know it's boring, right, but
I'm going to complete the hat trick. I agree. Shattenkirk. Best trade of the whatever we're going to call it, of this phase, the trade phase.
The trade phase.
We should call it, like in soccer, the transfer window, because that makes a lot more sense. I mean, it's Washington knows they have to go all in, and they did. So kudos to them. All right. We kind of already alluded to this, but we're going to try to rehash it. Biggest steal of the trade transfer window thing, phase, period.
Yeah, I mean, you know, P.A. Parenteau.
Yeah, I would say probably the two Ottawa trades, the two Vancouver trades.
Yeah.
I think that time will show that Yannick Hansen will have a very minimal effect in San Jose. Nikolai Goldobin will become a like valuable NHL player.
The next Alex Burrows.
And what's his name? Jonathan Dahlin will become... I mean, I just think those are such clear-cut wins, and for what they gave up, I mean, that's got to be a win.
Yeah.
Did you have... Oh, you didn't have a steal, did you?
It was the same ones. You took mine.
Okay. All right.
Like Montreal stole some defensemen, too. You know, like, not... You know, also not...
Yeah.
Not just, like, Jordy Benn, also.
Yeah, Jordy Benn's a weird one. I wouldn't put that as a steal, because they did give up Greg Patterin, who I think is a pretty good player.
But you know, they weren't playing him.
They weren't playing him, yeah. All right. Let's get a little critical here. Worst trade.
Steve Ott.
Yeah, that's what I had too.
I don't know what Montreal is trying to accomplish by having Steve Ott on their team.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're gonna combine I had a category later on. The trade that had you going WTF.
Yeah. The trade that had me looking like Swaggy P.
Well, I think that for me the WTF trade is still Ben Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I just still don't get that one. I mean, Steve Ott, as dumb of a trade as it is,
it's sort of inconsequential.
It's not. Well, it might be because
he'll play. I bet
he's gonna play.
I'm like, God damn it, he's gonna play.
All right, Joe, do you have a... get me out of my misery.
Yeah, the other one that I was sort of rolling my eyes at was Iginla to LA.
Why?
LA. You know,
how dare you disrespect Jerome Iginla?
Dude.
Iggy.
Massive respect for anyone with 600 goals. You know, but like he's going there for a shot to win the cup. And
he might not even make the playoffs.
Yeah. You know, like, granted, they're currently 1 point behind St. Louis for that last wild card spot.
But still, like, that's not a sure thing.
Yeah, like, you know, they just haven't been playing the same kind of Kings hockey that has won them in the Cups in the past.
But now they have Ben Bishop and Jonathan Quick.
Great. Can Ben Bishop play center?
I mean, honestly.
Yeah, if Ben Bishop can score like 30 goals, that'd be pretty dope.
Ben Bishop has had a bad season, but if he's at least anywhere near his level, he might be better than Quick. Anyway. All right.
No, I agree with that.
I think, yeah, the Ginlin one, although I tend to agree with you, was not necessarily a very consequential trade. I mean, they gave up a fourth round pick for, I mean, look at it this way. LA struggles so much to generate offense that even a guy like Ginla will help. They just need shooters.
Yeah. I mean, it is a low risk, high reward, and it could be another case of hoping for like the second coming of Vinny LeCavalier.
Yeah.
That worked out for a little bit.
Did it?
I mean,
you're the second person to tell me that today.
He was hot going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. All so right. It didn't put them over the top or anything, but.
All right. Biggest overpayment.
Burrows.
You think so?
I mean, the Sharks are up there with, you know, Hanson and
Goldobin.
But, you know, like Nick said, like the center has already doubled down on Burrows.
See, I would go Martin Hanzel because I think I like Martin Hanzel. I think he's a good player, but a first, a second, and it was a prospect, I think. Either way, that's a lot to give up for a third line center.
Like, yeah.
I mean, a third line winger.
I mean, look, it's going to, oh yeah, and Ryan White. I mean, look, I think he's going to help them, and it is a bit of an all-in move, but when you compare that to the fact that Washington got Kevin Shattenkirk for a first and a second,
mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, you know, like percentage-wise, how much better is Minnesota today with Martin Hanzel? You know, like 15%, yeah. Maybe.
And
that might still be kind of high.
And it would it'd be nice for Minnesota to have those high round picks because it's not like they're all young. You know, Parisi and Koivu aren't really young guys anymore.
Yeah. So you guys had the Ottawa.
Yeah. I mean the Burrows thing, and then the Goldobin and Hanson.
All right. Let's see. Okay. What was the strangest thing in a trade that kind of like, so for me, to kind of give you an example of what I'm thinking about, the weirdest thing for me was the conditional draft pick in the Hanson trade with the fourth round, or is it a fourth round pick?
That becomes a first.
That can become a first if the Sharks win the cup. Like, I don't think I've ever seen something like that.
Yeah.
Did you have a kind of weird, intricate little thing?
I did. Like,
I guess a stripe move is kind of, kind of in line with that.
Specifically with that. With Philly retaining 4.7% of his contract.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So, like, it's like they have to pay him for, like, this week, and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember which trade it was where someone traded a pick that they didn't have.
Oh, yeah, that was the Washington trade. That was the Shattenkirk
trade. Oh, the Shattenkirk trade. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what that, like, has anyone cleared that up?
I think Joe and I were trying to do the math on it because Lars Zeller had something to do with it, I think.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. There was another weird one where I forget which trade it was, but there was just like some random AHLer like thrown in.
Mm.
Like, thanks.
It's like, cool. Like, thanks for the stocking stuffer.
All right. Most overrated trade.
Ooh. Most overrated trade.
I'll give you mine.
Yeah. Start us off.
While you kind of figure this out. To me, the most overrated is the Thomas Vanek trade to Florida.
Oh yeah,
that's a good one.
That's a very good one,
because I think he was like so heavily talked about. Everyone was saying, yeah, Thomas Vanek is up there on that list of, like, you know, wingers that are going to come in and improve your team. But the way I look at it with Vanek, he doesn't really do much else outside of like a 5-foot radius in the offensive zone. Like, he's just not a not at all a two-way player.
I think if you look at just his time in Minnesota, Parise did all the work in front of the net and jammed at it, the puck, you know, once, twice, three times, and then it squared out back door to Vanek, who's just standing
well,
there.
Well, Vanek found himself a nice little niche on Detroit's power play. He was kind of in that bumper role in the middle of the ice, and he's kind of able to slip into that white space and, you know, put away some chances. But, I mean, hopefully for Florida, they're not thinking of him as a guy who's going to come in and bolster their top six. I think that hopefully, if they view him as a specialist, I mean, look, if you get in a tight playoff series and Thomas Vanek gets you an extra goal or two in the on the power play, that could be the difference in a series. So I get it from that perspective, and I think it only cost them, was it a fourth rounder? There were a lot of fourth rounders today.
Yeah.
But yeah, so to me, that's the one. A lot of people were talking about it, and I'm kind of thinking, Thomas Vanek kind of sucks. So yeah.
I mean, he's the kind of guy that has to be in the right place at the right time.
And I guess the Martin Hansel trade is a little overrated too, because I just don't think he's going to have the kind of impact that they might expect.
I mean, if we're talking overrated, it's a fine move, Patrick Eves to Anaheim.
Oh yeah, that's another good
one. But like they're banking on, like they were, like we've been saying, you know, since it happened, they got him thinking that he was the answer to all of
their
problems.
That's all they did. Like that's literally all they did.
Yeah, like we were saying earlier in the week that they were acting like, okay, we got our guy. If we don't do anything else, we're still good. And it was not that way. And it turns out at the deadline, that's exactly what they were thinking.
Yeah, and it's funny because as soon as I started tweeting about that trade and people got on me like, oh, wait till the trade deadline. Like, don't just, you know, like kind of write this off. Like, he's going to do more. Nope. Did more. Didn't do anything else. All right. Nick, you got one? Overrated?
I mean, I think Thomas Vanek is a good call because, like I said, he's the kind of guy that he'll... Joe harps on this all the time. He'll stand back door and wait for the puck to come to him and bang it in.
It's a good way to make money.
It's a good way to make money, but it's when you're not... like creating your own chances, and not to say that he hasn't done it in the past, but at this point, when you're not really creating your own chances or your own space, and you're just kind of, you have to be in the right place in order to make, to make the play, like that's not really a super reliable way to generate offense.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's one thing if you're a guy like Ryan Kesler who is used on the power play in front of the net. And, you know, he screens the goalie, picks up rebounds.
He's doing things.
And, you know, even if a lot of his points, like Vanek, come from, you know, that, you know, 2 feet away from the net.
I mean, a lot of players do that.
Yeah, you know, like,
Crosby does it.
Yeah, like, you know, it's fine. But, you know, they're you know, those guys are generating their own chances. They're creating space for others. You know, Thomas Vanek is just sort of sitting there hoping that, you know, the puck will eventually squirt to him and then doesn't really have a positive impact anywhere else.
Yeah, and so I don't really know what Florida's expecting, but we'll see. I mean, I like the Panthers. Like they're a good team, and they've been playing better lately, and they're healthy. So we'll see how they end up. All right. Let's see here. How about what was the trade that made you go wow? Good or bad? A good wow or a bad wow?
I mean,
or a medium wow? Like, huh? Wow.
I kind of medium wowed at Johnny Oduya going back to the Blackhawks.
Oh, okay.
Because I kind of like the way their D look now with him in there, because you've got Seabrook and you've got Keith and Jalmerson and Campbell. Trevor Van Riemsdyk, I think, is a solid defenseman. And then you throw Johnny Oduya back in. And I think he's got a little more offensive ability than what he's given credit for, but I don't think he necessarily needs to be used in that role. But I think he just kind of solidifies their defense a little more. So I was sort of like, uh-huh, wow, he's back. And that's, like, not a bad thing.
Okay. So you got one?
I mean, a trade where it's sort of a wow because I sort of forgot about him. But when I saw it, I thought, oh, that's a solid depth move. It was Eric Fair going to Toronto.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, you know, they already a great, you know, a great, you know, top six, maybe top five. Up front, and yeah, they did need to. They do need to work on the defensive side of the puck. But you know, adding, you know, a depth guy like Eric Fair for a team that wasn't supposed to make the playoffs, but is very likely to make it this season. You know, adding, you know, someone with that kind of experience and someone who could round out the roster, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that was a pretty good move. And they got, you know, they got draft picks and I think a prospect defenseman for him, and they sent Corrado.
Yeah,
that's Frank Corrado. Right.
Yeah,
back to Pittsburgh. I was like, okay, that seems like a, you know, they address, like, both sides address needs.
You factor in Brian Boyle,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of have that fourth line going. All right. Well, I'm glad you guys didn't bring this up, but I really like Brendan Smith to New York.
Mm.
Yeah. They gave up a third round pick in 17 and a second round pick in 18. I mean, that's a good trade for both parties, because I think Detroit needs to, I mean, Detroit actually, that's another team who had a sneaky good trade deadline.
They're starting to stockpile.
They sold off everyone, kind of all the dead weight, you know, Vanek and Ott. They got draft picks. They
traded Yurko.
And, well, that's the, see, that's another one of those things where Yurko, actually, that's another sneaky kind of good trade for Chicago.
Yeah.
Because if he ends up playing and they kind of make him fit. But I don't know. I just think he was never going to play in Detroit. I just think it wasn't going to happen. But with Brendan Smith, he's kind of been forgotten a little bit, because he was a prospect for like 10 years, it feels like.
Yeah.
Because of that Detroit, like, you know, farm system.
Right.
But I think he's exactly the kind of defenseman that New York needs to make a stronger playoff push, because they, I mean, anything that takes away minutes from Dan Girardi is a good thing.
Good news.
And he's a nice kind of puck mover, good two-way guy. And, you know, I mean, those, you know, a second rounder isn't great to give up, but you get a guy who you can potentially re-sign. And then, you know, for Detroit, again, stockpiling assets. I mean, they're clearly kind of realizing, yeah, this playoff streak, it's probably, it's probably over.
Yeah.
All right.
The sooner they realize it, the better.
Okay. Let's see. How much time we got here? We got a little bit.
It's been a 27-minute pod.
Okay. Yeah, this is a bit of a short one, more of a rapid fire. Who's your GM of the year right now? Now that the dust is settled on the trade deadline.
GM of the year? I mean,
is it for the whole year or just trade deadline?
Well, I mean, yeah. up to now.
Up till now.
I mean, all of a sudden, Jim Benning is in a good light.
Okay.
He
made two nice trades.
They
were really good trades.
Like, but I'm saying, like, it's not enough to get him like on that pedestal yet, but
yeah.
You know, he's working his way there.
Okay.
Like I was saying earlier, in Tampa, you know, some of the trades looked weird to me.
But you know,
like I said, they looked calculated, and you know, it looks very much like Yzerman has a plan. You know, they were in the Stanley Cup final and the Eastern Conference final, and they're missing it this year. And you know, it looks like they're
kind of throwing it though. Like, yeah. I think they kind of realized
they're still going to have plenty of quality pieces next year and for years to come.
They're not. Yeah, I mean, I think they have a couple RFAs this summer. But you know, like, they're kind of positioning themselves for another run.
Yeah.
You know, and I agree with you. I think Steve Yzerman is a guy who came to mind just because he did everything he had to do, got value. You know, I think the only thing I would probably criticize him for is I think he waited too long to move Bishop.
Perhaps, yeah.
Because I think Bishop at this point just didn't I mean, look at what he got. I mean, he still got stuff for him.
Mm. But his value was definitely higher.
I mean, Peter Cerniak might end up being a good player, but I mean he probably could have gotten more, like if he had traded him to Calgary or something last summer. I mean, they had a deal on the table, I think.
Another one that I would throw out is David Poile for Nashville.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of stealthy. I mean, you look at the summer he had.
You look at the summer and he stole PK Subban. He makes a really good in-season trade to get PA Parenteau.
Yeah.
I mean, and was he the one that got Philip Forsberg, or was that
before? Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So I mean,
you get perpetual GM of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the gift that keeps on giving for him.
Yeah, mine is Brian McClellan, the GM of the Washington Capitals.
Good pick.
I just think, you know, Stanley Cup windows are so fickle. They're so you think you get this young core and it's just going to last forever, but it really doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's kind of realizing this is the moment. We have to be all in. We don't know how long this is going to be together.
And it's already been together for quite a while now.
Yeah, and it's just like, why not swing for the fences? Like, the whole point is to win the Stanley Cup. So all you should ever be doing is putting all the odds in your favor.
Mm.
And I think, you know, disagree with what he did, I just love the mentality, and I think it's going to pay off. And this is the final segue, the final question. If you get this one wrong, you fail the exam.
I feel like I already failed it, so...
Who is your cup favorite right now?
Washington.
Washington.
Man, it's... Yeah.
Are you going to complete...
This isn't fun.
Are you going to complete the Natty Hattie?
Yeah, no. Washington is my pick, and I just don't think they have a weakness.
Just kidding. Florida's taking it.
Okay, so we all agree Washington. We don't have to go too long. Mm. I'll just quickly say I love their forwards. Their defense is now, maybe you don't love that left side, but doesn't even matter anymore.
Yeah.
And then you have, I think right now, Braden Holtby is the Vezina favorite.
Yeah.
I think he's having the best season of any goalie right now in the league. I think he's kind of surpassed Dubnyk and Crawford.
I mean, I will say for what we were talking about at this time last night with Shattenkirk, and we're like, where does this leave Pittsburgh? You know, they went out, they bolstered their defense.
Yeah.
You know, like, so
they're not out of it by any means.
Yeah, that gap that looked like Washington had expanded upon suddenly shortened.
Yeah. It narrowed a little bit. I mean, we'll see how it plays out, because it's not like they got these guys who are in the primes of their careers.
Right.
You know, I mean, I like Streit. I think he's going to help their power play. I like Hainsey, and we'll see how much Corrado plays, but you know, like, I mean, all they really have to get from their defense is, like, good enough play.
Right.
To just, I mean, just get the puck to the forwards.
Yeah. Slip it out.
And he had to do something. Like, he had to fill that hole.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so
Jim Rutherford, you know, he did his due diligence.
It's so stupid that they can't play in the Eastern Conference Final.
Oh.
Because that's stupid seeding system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about
but
that.
But that's going to be a hell of a series. I mean, there's no way that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
that would be so
who's
epic.
Your team coming out of the West then, since we're on the subject?
I'm going to pick San Jose.
You can say the Sharks. It's okay.
I'm going to say San Jose.
Yeah, I'll say San Jose.
Oh, in that case, I'm going to say Minnesota.
I have Nashville.
Nashville's a good one.
You think
they're going to stay hot enough?
See, the thing is, they're hot, but they're also just playing well. Like, this is sustainable.
I mean, I'm very curious to see how they're going to play, because last year they were playing, you know, that very European style in the playoffs. Are they going to do that again?
I don't know. I just think they're a way better team than they were last year. I think the goaltending they're getting has been better this year.
Has it?
Yeah, Saros.
Saros.
Yeah, he's been pretty good. Well, and even
Rene's been playing better.
Even Rene's been better. And then you factor in the blue line starting to gel. And then, I mean, I just think if that team can just maintain this level of play, they can beat anyone in the West. The West is incredibly wide open. And then my dark, dark, almost unseeable horse.
Your black hole pick.
My black hole horse. You're going to like this one.
Coming around the turn.
The Calgary Flames.
Oh.
I think they have an outside.
To make the finals.
Of coming out of the West.
They're playing really well right now.
Right now.
Right now. And all they have to do is beat a couple of, like, they got to beat maybe Anaheim. I just keep an eye on the Flames. That's all I'm saying.
Brian Elliott has potential, which is a weird thing to say for a veteran.
I just keep an eye on the Flames. That's all I'm saying.
Fuck it. I'll say Chicago.
I mean, Chicago's not all of a sudden.
They're actually playing really well.
Yeah.
Jonathan Toews is on fire, like almost Philip Forsberg level fire.
Captain.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think it's going to be tough for the Sharks.
Yeah. I do too.
I think they're kind of the like on paper favorite.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to say another team has a better chance.
Yeah.
But
I mean, there's some pretty legitimate concerns with San Jose. Their power play has not been nearly as good. They're still rotating guys on the top line with Thornton and Pavelski.
And they just kind of bled and at like talent.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they lost.
But that doesn't affect them this year.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. Yeah, I think Hansen is going to help them. Yeah, I don't know. Keep an eye on the Flames, and I kind of like Nashville.
You kind of like Nashville. That was a really lukewarm way of saying that.
Oh, sorry. I love Nashville.
You love Nashville. All caps.
Yeah, I mean, again, these are dark horse picks, but if I had to put my money right now, I just don't think it's going to be the Sharks for some reason.
Yeah.
I just, like, for whatever reason, you know, it's just like my gut.
I mean, with them, what I've been saying all season is wait to see how they're going to play in the playoffs.
Because to me, with them, it's not even about that. It's not even how they're playing. I just think it's so hard to do it twice.
Yeah.
And they're old, and I don't know.
Thornton hasn't been as good this year.
If Jones can play out of his mind and, again, you know, their power play gets going, maybe, but I don't know. I'm going off the board with Nashville. And, I can't really make a good argument for anyone else, really.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't make a good argument for San Jose, which is why I hedged big time.
I mean, if Anaheim had gone out and gotten like a legit score, or like, you know, even like a Verbata or something, I would like them a lot more, because I mean they still have a pretty decently talented roster, but I don't think they did enough, and they're playing really poorly right now. So
yeah,
I mean, if Gibson can stay hot and, you know, things kind of break right for them, they could win a round or two, but I kind of see that as the cap for them.
Yeah, and especially if it starts going in for Perry, that would help.
Yeah,
yeah, like he's the guy that if anyone on that roster is going to get hot, like, you know, gaining a player, you know, because
it's basically like a getting a free player.
Yeah, like it has to be Perry. Like it's no one else. Like not even Getzlaff.
All right, well, I think you guys passed this exam. I won't say flying colors, but I'll say like sprinting colors. Like, I don't know. You're not airborne yet.
It's more of a blur.
Yeah.
Everything's mashing together.
I feel like you're grading on a curve.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm adjusting.
Yeah.
I'm adjusting for league average.
Yeah. Score adjusted.
Score adjusted. Well, hope everyone enjoyed our trade deadline coverage. It was a lot of fun. We cranked out like three pods.
This was our trilogy for the trade deadline.
This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we threw the ring in the mountain.
And here comes the stretch run, baby. Playoffs?
Playoffs, baby. I can't wait. All right, guys. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Garage Hockey Podcast. If you want to hear more, we are on iTunes and Stitcher. If you want to get in touch with us, join the conversation, we would love to hear from you on Twitter at Garage Hockey Pod. Guys, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Playoffs.